Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. I am here, you are here, we are all here. This is the F4L headquarters. It is Friday, so happy Friday, everyone. From us to all of you, out wherever you are. Hope you guys had a great week. Been a little while since we've been back. And it feels kind of good to be back, doesn't it? It's nice to always come into the F4L headquarters, as always. So, today we're going to be doing something I think is going to be awesome. We're going to have a very special guest come in a little later on. We got a first-time person coming to the F4L headquarters today. And I want to let people know I have many other people who are getting ready to come into the headquarters and hang out with us here at the F4L headquarters. Now, for the record, this is not like any other podcast anyone else has ever heard of before. Well, why is that? What makes this one different than any others? And I know there's a lot of people out there who will ask that question. Why come on the F4L headquarters versus all these other various podcasts or whatever? Well, to be fair, one thing is none of those other podcasts have me, which is the main thing. Now, that might sound very narcissistic, I suppose, in some ways, where I'm saying I'm different than a lot of the others, and I am different, and I'll tell you why I'm different. You know, a lot of these podcast people, and they're all hardworking, and I have nothing but respect for all of them, because, you know what, they're doing something that they enjoy. But you see, this podcast right here, I did differently. And what I do on this show is mostly focused on more positive things, the dream making, so to speak, the realities of doing so, encouragement, little life lessons here and there, to remind people that, you know, yeah, things can happen in life that aren't the greatest, but also in the same sense, everything you do and you encounter in your lifetime will have some sort of meaning, whether it's right in the moment or, you know, maybe sometime in the distant future. Everything that will happen in your lifetime is a life lesson. And I believe firmly that everything happens for a reason. And if you look back at your times in life, whether it be good or bad, you look back and sometimes it's hard to kind of separate the good and the bad. But for me personally, I can look at various different aspects in my life and say, well, that's why this happened. And if this happened this way, then this wouldn't have happened, you know. So I always take the good with the bad. I also believe I don't believe in a lot of luck. As much as I am Irish and as superstitious I am when it comes to bowling and so forth like that in sports, I am also very much a firm believer in making your own destiny and making your own, you know, if you have control over taking some aspect of your life in, like making something happen, then that's not luck. That's your work, your ethic. I grew up, again, I mean, I've said this time and time again, but I was a person who was born just recently on Instagram the other day. And it's true. I was born into a family that I was constantly judged because I was creative, but I was also had a different work ethic. I had a different mindset as far as compassion and love and whatever. I believed in, you know, various different aspects of what a family should be. I believed in what support systems should be in place. And not a lot of people did. And now, again, I was creative, and a lot of people in the family would often look at me with raised eyebrows. Why am I writing short stories in, you know, second and third grade? Why am I writing lyrics to songs in the first grade? Rather than question why am I writing these songs, you know, nowadays, it's actually sort of encouraging nowadays that, it seems more and more parents that I see, like my wife and I usually try to do as well, like to encourage their kids to embrace those arts. I don't know if that was the time that we grew up in. I grew up in the 80s, of course, where a lot of things are different from the 80s to now. In the 80s, it was socially unacceptable to talk about mental illness and so forth. In current days, you'll see medication commercials and people talking about mental illness like it's going out of style. So a lot of things have changed in a lot of aspects as far as that goes. But the one good thing I have to say is it seems that more now than ever before, more parents are taking more of a leadership in embracing their kids' talents and supporting their kids' dreams and stuff. I think that's awesome. If you guys remember back, we had JoJo the bodybuilder on. We had his dad, you know, stop by. And you heard what I said. I said, it's great that we have parents like, you know, his dad and all the other talented people out there who, you know, support their kids' dreams and goals. Now, as you heard, JoJo, you know, is the one who is the bodybuilding fanatic, and he's the one that kind of keeps everything going. Everyone else is not necessarily, you know, into that realm, but, you know, they still support him and stuff like that. But we have a lot of different people who have very different talents from all over walks of life. And I think what's important to realize is, you know, even though, you know, on the outside when I was growing up, it would have been nice to have, you know, a family member in the stands, so to speak, when I was competing in all of the regionals all over the East Coast, when I was doing what they called freestyle tournaments. But, you know, in the same sense, I had the people who were meant to be there, if that makes any sense. I always feel that, again, things happen for a reason. The reason why my family wasn't there for a lot of those things is I believe that would have kind of tarnished my performance. They're not positive outlooks for the most part. They're all pretty much for themselves, and that wouldn't have been very helpful to anyone. So, you know, I think it's important, and I think it is great that I've seen a great deal of parental involvement in making and helping their kids make their own dreams come true, whether it be helping your kids get to the gym, supporting your kids in sports. If you look at our roster on YouTube, a lot of those guys, a lot of those people I talk to, a lot of those various different parents and so forth, I talk to the Stritzel Fight Club's dad all the time, Mason and Carter Stritzel. They're currently holding our two top titles right now, separate titles, mind you. And you look at their work ethic and their drive and, you know, his involvement and his being proud. And I think that's awesome. And a lot of the other parents we see throughout all the place who are encouraging. But I think there's also a certain aspect, you know, that's positive stuff. But then, you know, you see sometimes, for example, on YouTube or other things like that, sometimes some parents have a tendency to kind of overstep that and make the show about them. That's not the case with a lot of these, you know, these people here. A lot of these people are all about their kids and they put their kids first. And then they have to sacrifice a lot of their time, whether it be time from work, time for projects they have to do because they have to, you know, go to their take their kids to a competition or a game or whatever. I mean, JoJo's dad had to drive, he said, 5 hours, I think, to a local, to so JoJo can do that bodybuilding thing, which you won, you know, an award for. So, you know, when you look at all of those sacrifices a lot of those parents make and the different things and the involvement, I think that's an awesome thing. Coming up down the road in the near future, we're going to have a lot of various different people on the show who can tell you what it's like to have that kind of influence, what helps them. Sometimes you're going to encounter the people who don't have a lot of that. Knock on wood, thus far, a lot of the people we've had seem to have that support system. And I don't believe necessarily you don't have to have the same support system, but a similar one. I think everyone needs someone in their corner, so to speak. Me, for example, when my family, my blood family, were not, you know, didn't have the values I did. They weren't F4L, if you would. I said, you know what? This isn't how a family's supposed to be. And at 13, I already started the the wheels were kind of in motion for me to kind of leave these people who I was in the I was born into, to kind of create my own family of people who I believe to be more family and supportive. And they have the values of what the F4L is. In all honesty, when you're F4L, which we'll get into, I'm sure, in a little bit when our friend comes on. That's why I'm not going to go into the great details of the F4L right now. But when it comes to the F4L lifestyle, your friends, your fans, your family for life, we, our morals, love, caring, to live every day with love, caring, compassion, understanding, respect for each other's differences. When you have those elements, there is very little room for conflict. There's very little room for, you know, negativity. So that's kind of why the F4L has those models. That's a family model. That's why when you're F4L, you're a family member. Anyone listening to this show is an F4L, for the most part. Everyone's F4L. So as long as you're living the life with love, care, and compassion, understanding, and respect for each other's differences, then you're F4L. And, you know, there's really no reason for there to be conflict, because you can, if you have those kind of morals in your value, then you can very easily, you're able to kind of understand and stuff. One second, as a friend of ours, Robin Yu from OK Thank You, is going some big things. Another one of our future guests, we had Mike on our show not long ago. Robin Yu, one of our popular members of our roster, as I'm just sending him a message right quick. There we go. Offered my help to help people. Anyway, sorry about that, folks. But, you know, the whole idea is to be supportive and so forth. And that's kind of why I created the F4L, for that aspect. And yeah, where I didn't have, you know, a mom or a dad or, you know, significant family members in that aspect in the stands cheering me on when I was making kids tap and scream for their tap and scream for various different, you know, when I was having them tap out or I was, you know, beating them on the mat or whatever. I didn't need that, though, because the F4L I created were cheering me on and they were more supportive in that aspect. Because for them and for my team, for my school, I was there for that. And one more thing I want to add is my son and I, no, we weren't going to be doing the bowling thing this fall. We did the summer league and we were going to leave it as is. But my son decided, you know, he really wanted to bowl during the fall. So we're doing the fall. And at the conclusion of this, he's going to be taking a break from the fall league after this year, but I'm going to continue because this is what I did years before, and I'm very excited to announce that I'm actually presently working on a new documentary in which I will be trying to educate people on candlepin bowling, talked about here and there, and coming up, you know, hopefully not too long from now, we'll even maybe get some of these people on our show to talk about candlepin bowling as a whole. We belong to a house right now. That's what you call your house. If you're in a bowling league, the bowling alley you attend is called your house, for the record. But our house is a place in my hometown called Old Lindy's. A lot of you guys might see it from our show. One of the reasons I built that arena is so that the world can kind of see what that is, what we do. Sometime soon, I'm going to actually do a I'm going to show you guys, you know, I'm going to, on Instagram probably, I'm going to post probably an image of what this actually looks like compared to the bowling. I think a lot of the world knows. In fact, in a little bit for fun, we're going to ask John, who is our guest tonight, to come in, and we'll ask him what he knows of bowling. He's a sports guy, and he knows a lot of various different things. We're going to have him, what he knows of bowling, and we'll kind of test this theory. We'll see what he knows about candlepin bowling. my theory is when I ask him to describe bowling, he's going to describe 10-pin. 10-pin bowling, which is what a lot of people around the world believe to be the only form of bowling. Here in my area of the United States, the New England area, we have three styles of bowling. We have candlepin bowling, which is what I am referring to. That's what I've been growing up into, or Verdolona's the small balls. We have what's called duckpin bowling, which is a little bit bigger. Can't look like little candlepin balls. Now, a candlepin ball looks like a very small picture of a really small cannonball. And then a duckpin ball is a slightly bigger ball than that with no holes in the fingers. And like in 10-pin, which is what everyone knows is candlepin, which everyone knows, they're bigger balls. Your fingers go in the hole. You have two balls to throw. And they clear the wood in between all of the frames. You get two shots per box, right? Candlepin, you get three shots in one box, and they leave the wood down. That might sound like it's very easy. If the pins are smaller than 10-pin balls, the pins themselves are smaller than a 10-pin, than a pin that you guys assumed like it was a bowling pin, and the balls are smaller, probably about the size, for those Italian fans, as of a bocce ball, if you're familiar with those. So, you know, that aspect. So, should be a lot of greatness. So, it's a fun time. But it's a great family sport. It's a family event. It's great to have fun. I think bowling is great for a family and for someone who wants to learn various different things, whether it be the values of being a teammate, or to help with their math skills even, to help with, you know, positive reinforcement, to help with confidence, work ethic. You know, it helps you keep a schedule, dependability, responsibility. I think there's a lot of different aspects. But I think that goes for a lot of different sports. But, I mean, that being said, I'm a firm believer in most sports, to be honest. So, I mean, I guess if you pick a sport, you can pretty much find the value in whatever it is. Even in combat sports, for the most part, you have, you know, you used to represent either your the people who had trained you, your various different captains, your trainers, your senseis, your coaches, so to speak. So that's kind of who you represent at those events. I was very fortunate to have the training I did. I was able to cross train multiple different forms. And people often ask me if I ever regret, you know, stopping the combat sports, because I was doing what they called freestyle tournaments, which would later turn into MMA. I stopped that when I was about 18, so I could attend wrestling school, pro wrestling school, which a lot of people assume is, quote, fake wrestling. But as I've mentioned before, right up until you hit the mat, there's no faking gravity. I think I've said that time and time again. Any athlete, there are MMA fighters who will tell you that pro wrestling is far more dangerous than anything they have done because of what goes on within it, because of the sheer atmosphere, and because of how it's done. And because basically you have, you know, another person you have to work with to make you look as good as you are. You have to be, you know, solid in your performance. A lot of people, this show is a good example of this, and this kind of brings us back why pick this show versus others. One, this show has its own element. This is kind of how I run my movie sets. It's kind of a family, it's kind of a loose, kind of a family-friendly atmosphere. Everyone's welcome. Everyone's kind of greeted. Hey, how's it going? You know, it's like a family atmosphere. I think that makes a creative, you know, for a creative stance, I think it makes it a better shoot. But in hindsight, you know, when you have kind of a loose atmosphere like on here where you don't have to worry about, oh, what did I say? Did I say it right or wrong? It's not about being right or wrong. It's just being about yourself. And that's what being on the FRL coming to the FRL headquarters is all about. You get to be you. You don't have to put on a performance. This is mostly this is all done via phone, so people call in, and you be you. And anyone who is, you know, aspiring to come on the show, which all are welcome to come on the F4L headquarters, because I think everyone has the qualities that belong here. And I have reached out, and we're going to be getting some people coming in here to talk about what it's like to make their dreams happen. The real life dream masters and the women warriors of wrestling, so to speak. So there's that. Really quick, though, I want to do two quick shout-outs before. I know John's going to be calling soon. I want to give a shout-out first to my wife, who has, after a long period of time working in a position, she has, starting a new position. I want to say how proud of her I am and give her a shout-out and tell her that I love her. And she always knows she always has my support no matter what. And so I want to congratulate her on that. She's starting a new job, which I'm sure is nerve-wracking and whatever, but she knows that she always has me to fall back on. At the long day, end of the day, she'll have a meal on the table and me to make sure she's okay. And then the other thing I want to do is a quick shout out to my son, who a couple weeks ago celebrated his birthday. Happy birthday to my son, be it my co-host, and one of my closest and dear friends, my son, Chap Awesome. Love you, kid. And he's at work as well, by the way. So a big shout out to him as well as he's finding out what real life is like after high school. Proud of him, proud of my daughter as well. She's doing amazing things. She just went on her own trip to Maine not long ago, flew on her plane by herself, gave me a heart attack as she did so. I'm not being literal, I'm being figuratively, but anyone who's a parent knows what that's like, I'm sure. I've been often described as being a little overprotective, but you know what? I'd rather be an overprotective parent than not be a parent at all, so thank you very much. Anywho, and also my mother's birthday would have been on Sunday last week, and seeing how we didn't have her, she's not around anymore. I guess a shout out to my uncle, her twin brother, Paul, for his birthday as well, as they share a birthday. There you go, and all of that. Okay, so a little bit we're waiting for John to call in, but we're just going to give you guys a little heads up. We're going to have, like I said, we got waiting for Jackson or Scott's going to come on the show. We got some youth combat sports kind of individuals who have competed in combat sports coming on. They got some music people coming in to the F-World headquarters. We have all of our friends coming in. We got Joe Bruin, our wrestling buddy from the New England Fan Fest, coming on to the show. Some point we'll get Dave Hagan to come on the show. He is the brain behind Monster Mania. Imagine a world where Dave Hagan and Joe Bruin, right, horror and wrestling meet for one epic show. If only that would happen, huh? Anyway, I got that going on. So, yeah, a lot of great stuff going on. A big shout-out to Michael Fishman. And success on the Connors, success to everyone who's working on that new show, the Chucky series, which is killing it on TV. No pun intended. I just realized what I said. But they're doing a great job in that show. If you guys are not watching it right now, Chucky is on Tuesday nights, 10 o'clock, on both USA and Sci-Fi Network. So I highly suggest you check that out if you're not yet. Great. Seeing a lot of old friends of mine getting on screen again. It's great to see Alex Vincent taking back the role of Andy Barclay in the Child's Play series. And their cast is phenomenal on the show. The show itself, for a network television show, it's kind of redefining what The Walking Dead did when they came on the TV. And I think when The Walking Dead came on, a lot of people... It was kind of a slow building, kind of a snowball that turned into a phenomenon, right? This is another one of those shows. And I seem to always pick the shows that are going to be epic. And those of you guys aren't watching, The Connors is another show that is back on television. Of course, The Connors, formerly Roseanne, is now, it's Connors. It's about the life after Roseanne, and it's following, Darlene and DJ and, you know, Dan and their lives right after and how they deal with life today. Those people who know what The Corners is about can a lot relate, because a lot of the subject matter they go with is very realistic things that people can adapt to. Some people say sometimes it's more serious than it used to be, where it used to be all fun and games. But what I think is good about this, well, The Corners, since they, you know, this whole new format, is they take serious subject matter and they do it like a dark sarcasm kind of a way, which I can relate to because that's kind of how I grow up as well. So there's that. And just the performance on that show is great also. But again, you're dealing with people who have worked together for a long period of time. And a lot of them are constant professionals. So it is a great time to see that. It's also good to see like a lot of, you know, various different other people from that era stopping into the Corners once in a while. You know, people like the added Katie Sagal. Imagine Peg Bundy meeting with Dan Connor. Who would ever predict Peggy Bundy or Gemma Teller would marry Dan Connor from the Roseanne? Come on. I mean, this is epic stuff. I think that's going to be pretty cool. And I want to shout out to everyone who I met over at the Rhode Island Comic Con a number of weeks ago. Tomorrow night is our wrap party, so I'm going to be going to the sound and see people in person. We've got the incomparable Jackson R. Scott, who is another person coming on this show eventually. Him and his dad, Dan, who I'm going to now call Dan the Man. They are a phenomenal group, and Jackson R. Scott is exactly who I thought he was. A terrific, talented young man who loves his audience. Call that. I know talent. I also got some voice actors who are going to be coming on the show to talk about what that's like. A lot of people like this anime stuff. My kids love anime. I'm a little backtracked because I remember Voltron and Speed Racer and things like that. Of course, I've heard of Pokemon. I have kids, and so for all these other shows that, thanks to my kids, I know exist. But, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into those. So we're going to have some people come on that show talk about that. You know, this show is about spreading positivity, dream making, about inspiring others. It's about being real. And this is going to be cool. It's going to be a big thing. So those people who ever wanted to be on a podcast and always nervous, oh, I don't know if I can do this. You got me here. And you know, I'm not like everyone else. I've been around the block a few times. There's not much I haven't encountered. And all I got to say is just be you. And, you know, we'll take it from there. You don't have to be nervous. You don't have to be butterflies. Just be you. And you'll be fine. And that's all you really have to worry about. You guys have heard our guests come on here before. And I've never had anybody say they disliked it. So it's always a positive thing. And it's only going to get better. So as time goes on. And to think I almost didn't do this because my wife is actually the original one who does this podcast stuff. And the only reason I did this is because in 2020, when everyone was doing this woes and me thing and looking at all these negative things and sad things in life, I had to do something. And since I am a firm believer in if you don't like something, then you do something about it. Since I didn't like the fact that no one's celebrating good things in the world, that is how this show began with the blessing of my wife, and that is how the F-World headquarters came to be. So, again, thanks to my wife. Thank my wife for this one. Anyway, that's that. Okay, let's see. We have a guest possibly. Let's see. Hello.
Hey there. It's John Richter. How are you?
Hello, welcome to the F4L headquarters, my friend. We were expecting you, as you know. I'm your host with the most. I am the icon, Sean J. Stevens. It's a pleasure to meet you, sir.
Pleasure to meet you as well. I love what you stand for on Instagram and everywhere else, and I'm a real big fan.
Well, thank you very much, John. So first, you know, obviously John is what you'll probably go by, right? I'm hoping. Would you rather me call you Mr. Richard?
No, I'm not. I'm no one important. Just call me John. So
we're all important in our own ways, right?
Yeah. Nothing in the big world.
Well, yeah, you can refer to me as Sean or Jazz, either one. I answer to both because I am both. So there you go.
You got
Some
it, man.
People in
you
the
got
world,
it.
I'm Sean. Other people in the world, I'm Jazz. So it doesn't, depending on what realm you got, I answer whatever. So.
So you went to Killer Kowalski school? I had a quick question. Did you go to Killer Kowalski school? Oh, wow. That's so cool, man. So much lineage behind all that, you know?
Yeah, I saw you were a sports
That's
guy.
Really, really.
I saw that. I saw
you went to Killer Kowalski. Oh, yeah, I am, and I love wrestling. But you went to his, too?
Huh.
Yeah, his school, Killer Kowalski's?
I went to Killer Kowalski's School of Pro Wrestling. That's how my journey began. Actually, this month, I celebrated, 20? I always lose track. I started in 1998. I walked into the Kowalski School for the first time. I was an 18-year-old kid 6 months before I graduated high school. And just 6 months before that, I beat Canada the first time.
So you must have some friends in the business. That must be nice.
I have a lot of good friends. Actually, I have a friend of mine, a couple of my friends live in your neck of the woods. But, yeah.
No, really?
But, yeah.
Towards my neck of the woods in Missouri, there's a Harley Race had his school for a long time. So until he died.
Harley Race, really nice man, very, very giving individual too.
Yep.
He's a very knowledgeable individual too.
I've met him and Ric Flair and some other wrestlers. They seem all pretty down to earth. So
for the most part, sometimes you get the guys that get the egos, and then you get the guys who know what the business is and kind of can appreciate it for what it is. Are you watching wrestling currently, John?
Well, I don't get to watch as much as I like, but I'm more into, like, AEW and like, the alternative right now because they're signing a lot of big WWE stars and because they've got a lot of good indie talent just to begin with, and I'm really a big fan of Cody Rhodes, so therefore, and I'm a big fan of the Bullet Club and all that, so that's something that I really like. So,
you know what the great thing about being F4L is the fact that I respect everyone's different. I respect others' differences. And the great thing about wrestling in general is the fact that if you ever go to a convention, it's kind of like everyone's accepting. Even if you like this, you know, this movie or this wrestler, you're still accepting the same community. You know what I mean? And you know, you're not an outcast like you are everywhere else who doesn't like wrestling or doesn't like whatever sport or whatever. That's one of the good things about that, huh?
Yeah, I would guess so. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I really enjoy both brands. I enjoy both brands, but I live close to St. Louis, Missouri. So, obviously, my favorite wrestler ever is Randy Orton because he's from St. Louis. But I've been a big fan of Randy Orton for, I don't know, 20 years. Always loved him.
Well, there you go.
And then also, Cowboy Bob Orton. That's always a fun one to talk about, too. But, no, I like wrestling. I like hockey. I like boxing. I like MMA, all that kind of stuff.
Who do you like for MMA?
So that's – I am big into MMA. Yeah, I know – I've done an interview with John Hackelman, who is the trainer to Chuck – Liddell and Glover Teixeira. So,
cool stuff. We're actually pretty good friends. We're on the same board with a guy named Dan Pewter. You know who that is?
I do. Yeah, he was a good fighter, wasn't he?
He was a good fighter, and he also worked for WWE. Also, he won the Tough Enough for WWE when they did that bit back in the day. But he went into MMA and now actually work together. Being co bully busters, so to speak. So I work with him on that.
Yeah, I remember
really nice
the name
guy.
And I remember some of his. I remember him, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. That guy's a legend.
And of course, you know my friend Ken Shamrock.
Oh, absolutely. WWE and MMA, big in the world.
Sure. Really humble.
I'm actually watching a series on YouTube where they relive the Monday Night Wars. And we're just getting to the part where Ken Shamrock comes into the equation. So Yeah.
Ken Shamrock's an amazing individual. He's great. Great podcast as well. He has a podcast he just started, so I might want to check him out too. He's really good people. I think one of the good thing about in life in general, you never stop learning about whatever. And even though, like for myself, I've been in the wrestling business for I don't know how long, but I still am learning something. And if you're not learning, my opinion in life is, if you're not constantly learning something every day, then there's something not right. You know what I mean? There's always something to either learn, to improve upon, you know, to add to your knowledge, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I think every day we can learn something new, whether it's in wrestling or life or anything. I think we can always learn and experience new things, even if it's around the house, which if nothing, COVID has taught us that if we're, that we gotta, you know, make things happen at home sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Since 2020,
exactly.
Like a lot more people are doing stuff at home and, you know, starting up businesses like me and different stuff like that. And I think it's
right.
The best time to do it because, you know, it's, there's just not, you know, it's, the work is hard to find right now, all that stuff, you know, but I think it's given a lot of opportunity to people like you, me and other people to, you know, do podcasts even, or just do stuff that we would never would have done, you know?
Of course. Right. You know, I have to say, you know, as I said before you came on, I don't know if you got to hit listen to the intro or not. You can listen to it on Blog Talk Live or on Spotify or iTunes tomorrow, whatever. But one of the biggest things I learned about 2020 is that, you know, a lot of people, I often said that everything we encounter in life is a learning experience and there's always a reason for everything. If it wasn't for 2020 and being forced to stay in my house, being forced to work from home, then I wouldn't have gotten to meet some and be inspired and be encouraged that there's so many good things in the world, that so many people who should be celebrated, which is why I have adapted our original format, my son and I started years ago on YouTube, into what we do now called Icons. And
yeah, I saw some of the matches, and I really enjoyed
it. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. You do a really good job with them. I really like them a lot.
Thank you. Did you see last night's by any chance?
Did I see what?
Did you see the ones from last night by any chance?
I haven't yet, no.
I'm just curious.
Is it good?
Because one of the people who had a match last night, I do believe you know, as you've had him on your podcast, he actually made his tag team debut last night. And, you know, can't spoil
tag team.
Anything.
Are you
just
talking about real wrestling or YouTube?
You're not talking about real wrestling.
You're talking about YouTube, right?
I'm talking about my YouTube show. That's
yeah,
my
yeah,
YouTube
okay.
Show.
Okay, I was like, wait, someone I know made a debut. What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I
on
got
our
you.
Our YouTube
okay.
Show, they made a debut. How about that?
Yeah, okay. Gotcha. Okay. Sorry, I just didn't know. I just wanted to make sure. I'm like, uh-oh, I didn't know that.
Well,
yeah,
our
who
show's
is it, though?
Big deals anyway, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We keep who it light it, here. We're always light here. It's always good, you know. It's fun.
But who was it? I didn't catch who it was.
Well, you got to watch for it. I can't spoil it because in case the person's listening, you know, I can't spoil it if they haven't seen it yet. But a person you had you've interviewed a few times, had a tag.
That's
team
only
match
one
night.
Person. I know who it is, though. That's the thing.
And who would that be?
All my interviews are on Facebook right now. They're not on Instagram. I wish they were. But all my interviews that I've been
on
or been through are
on
Facebook. I've
done
one from my podcast on Instagram. It's Jaden Brooks, but that's the only person
that's
I can
him.
Think of.
Well, that's him.
Yeah, he's a good kid.
Him and his dad are good people. That's awesome. It's always great to see that. As I just said.
Oh yeah. I like seeing that Jaden, Connor, Ronan, some of those
Connor
kids.
Connor also
just
made his debut. He was his tag team partner actually. That was his
who
tag
was?
Team partner. Was.
You were?
No, not me.
You were his tag.
I have my own.
Connor
was
his tag team?
Was Jaden's tag team. Connor and Jaden are a tag team. Known as the Varsity
okay.
Club.
Oh, that's neat. Okay.
Yeah, they're a tag team on our show.
No, I didn't
yeah.
even know that. That's great.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Well, Jaden actually
I think it's really cool.
Appeared, Well, yeah, this whole new format is actually quite interesting. But again, it goes back to that, if it wasn't for taking this time to be forced to sit at home and getting to see these amazing people who, like myself, had to, you know, make their own way and make their dreams happen, who know you can't make things happen by sitting around wanting it to happen, you know. And I think it's encouraging when people, you know what they want in life and do put the work into getting it, which is why we celebrate those people by adding them to the Icons roster. So Jaden and Carter,
I really think it's a really cool idea that you did with that. So
well, thank you. Well,
I mean, I really like the idea of Bell that. That's really neat. So
yeah, it's a little different than what we usually used to do, but actually still works the same, really.
It's really cool.
It's just the same format.
I like it. I really admire it a lot, Sean, because to do that, you have to be creative and understand electronics to an extent. And I'm really glad that, you know, you did that, because I think without it, you know, some people like, you know, maybe Jaden or Connor wouldn't have got the chance to do something fun like that, right? So, yeah.
Well, I think a lot of people don't know the impact they have until they see it in front of them, you know. And I think some people, when I originally bring up the idea to them, and because the way it used to be, the, you know, the backstory of our show, Dream Matches, which is what I started with my son years ago, when basically around the time YouTube even began, we started that kind of a gimmick. The reason it started really was I was just trying to cheer him up because he was home from sick from school, I should say. But, you know, to cheer him up, using the wrestling game, I built Peter Griffin, and I built Homer Simpson. This is literally how funny, how one little thing can spiral into what it is. But since I built Homer Simpson and Peter Griffin, I said, well, okay, now we have these two characters. We didn't want to play each other. He wasn't feeling good, and we didn't want to pick favorites. So we found out the game actually had a demo motion. So what happens is set it to demo, and the machine carries out the match, and then we'll, you know, decide the winner or the loser, so to speak. Either one. It'll play out the whole match in front of you. So I said, well, wait a minute. We can have fun with this. And then to cheer him up, I would do the little commentary on top of that. We did the commentary like you would see on wrestling. So
yeah, I like that.
That's
the really cool part of that. Yeah.
So then, that was kind of like, quote, a dream match, Peter Griffin and Homer Simpson, right? This is before they actually had this. Kind of what started the whole dream matches thing. And then we started getting people who asked us for other matches they wanted to see. And that was years ago. And then this year, my son decided he wanted to do his own thing as he's getting older, such as life. Mm-hmm. Even though he's just came back with me, we're working together on Us Versus Them, which is a new model we're doing. But, what I'm really proud about is not so much what I'm doing, but the work ethic by the people in which we bring on these shows, these new kind of dream matches, the real life dream masters, right? Because we went from being dream matches, my son and I, to being dream masters, because, you know, that's the whole idea.
Absolutely.
And
so
what's different about
our... Can they talk while they're...
What do you mean?
While
they're wrestling?
So, like, if say Jaden came and did that, do they actually play the game, or like how does that work? You see what I'm saying? I don't. I play like one video game, and I don't play wrestling.
I love wrestling video games. You know what's funny? I can't even play it. The funniest part about it is I can't actually play the game. Funniest part about it. I can build whoever. That's not an issue for me. But as far as playing the game, I can't do that. And basically the way it works is it's like a wrestling storyline. So you'd have, two guys go to the ring. And what's different, one of the things we do on my show is I actually run it like a legitimate wrestling show. Because of my background in wrestling, I incorporate that. And to be honest with you, when I was working for World Wrestling Entertainment up until last December, a lot of the ideas I was using on my shows on YouTube were being utilized in on-screen stuff. So good stuff there.
I believe it. You're a creative guy, man. You should have been on the creative team if you weren't, you know?
But, I've also known a lot of guys in there, so that helps.
Yeah.
But also, you know, when I saw her in 2020, all these amazingly talented individuals, you know, the people like the Jadens and the Connors and the JoJos and the Tonys and the list goes on and on. You're from St. Louis, you said? No, you're from South Illinois, right?
Well, I'm in Southern Illinois, but I'm only about 30 minutes from downtown St. Louis, so I do a lot of stuff in downtown St. Louis. I go to a lot of... I usually have season tickets for the Cardinals, and I go to Blues games, and I go to wrestling. They're going to have the Royal Rumble here in a few months in St. Louis.
Jealous. I've done that a few times. Good times.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect. I've been to shows at Scott Trade Center for wrestling before, mm-hmm. not just house shows, but actual shows, but... To be honest, yep. I don't know what to expect from the Royal Rumble at all, who's going to win or anything. So,
well, you're going to have to watch and find out, I guess. You know, the other,
yeah,
you know,
that'll
the,
be good.
The fact that we could, but the cool thing is like you said, it's nice to see people like a Connor and a Jaden, who normal people outside of the realm might not know those names until they see them on our show. And then I'll get emails,
sure.
like you wouldn't believe, hey, who is this person? Who's that person? And then I'll say, well, you got to go check this person out. That's kind of why I do it, is to bring awareness to these amazingly talented people who are making their ways come, you know, doing what they got to do to make their dreams happen. If I can help someone, then I'm going to do it. And that's why I started this thing, since my son took his, you know, took some time off to work on some other things. I took and I revised it called Jazz and His Icons of the F4L. Which is where a lot of these people are. You're from St. Louis, the Stritzel Fight Club. Have you heard of them? You're into the MMA world, you said, right?
Yeah, no, I haven't.
Well, you gotta go. There are also individuals like a Jaden and a Connor who are huge in the, you know, two very hardworking young men, they're brothers out of St. Louis, and they're into jiu-jitsu and stuff like that. They're nice guys.
Yeah.
We have a bunch of those. And actually, last night, I just got done adding four new members, that was a lot of work yesterday. It was a building day yesterday. So four brand new combat sports icons I built yesterday to be added for the show, you know, hopefully by, you know, December 4th, they'll be on. But...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, last night, Jaden and Connor, who I had already told them that they were going to be on this show. Normally, our show, when I started this, I said, you know, we need to have some type of consistency so people know we're going to do it. But before, it would be like, mm-hmm. you know, we'll just do spot shows here and there. But mm-hmm. now what I do is, you know, the 4th, the 14th, and the 24th of every month, you can look forward to seeing the icons of the F4L on YouTube. Now the 14th is now when I do when my son and I decided to do the Us versus Them show, where we take our mm-hmm. best cause, our best us's, so to speak, the guys we build, our homegrown talents, put them against the best of wrestling, which is another element.
Okay.
Jack and Tim. You ever hear of Jack and Tim, the lucky ones from Britain's Got Talent?
Yep, they're great. Yeah, I follow them on YouTube. As a matter of fact, yeah, they have a great song.
So
they have a great song.
On the show, right?
No, I didn't know they did your show, but you know what I do know is that I like a lot of their music from America's Got Talent. I'm really not America's, it's Britain Got Talent. Was it America? No, it was America's Got
You're
Talent.
Right.
It wasn't Britain.
They came over here.
It was Britain. Okay. Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, they obviously they had the cute factor going on because it's the dad and his son. They were very talented. They were, you know, they were well rounded. Personally, I think they should have been the show's winner that year, but that was just me. And then afterwards, I've since have gotten into more of their songs. Like, they did Lucky Ones, and then they did the song that they just came out with like a year ago about the. About Black Lives Matter and stuff. I don't know if you heard that one or not.
I have.
Yeah, it's a good show. It's a good one. At the end, they put No Lives Matter until Black Lives Matter, and I truly, truly believe that. And then they named all the victims that have died of, you know, police brutality and that kind of stuff, you know. So.
Yeah.
I really have a lot of respect for them doing that because a lot of people won't stand up for what they believe in. And that's just the truth. A lot of people, if they see a trend or something, they're not going to. But those two guys, they stood up for what they believed in. And I really, even if you don't believe the same or whoever doesn't believe the same, it's still an amazing thing to do. You know?
It is. And I think that is important. I think when you have the opportunity to do something, then you should definitely do something. You know what I mean? I agree with you.
Yep.
That's correct.
So,
let's say.
Yeah, they're talented. You've been in contact with them too?
Who's that? Jack and Tim?
Tim and
the lucky ones have been on our roster for longer than I actually knew who they were, to be honest. The way we found Jack and Tim originally was our fans would suggest, hey, can you build these guys and add them to your roster? So I'm like, okay, let me see who they are. And then, I'm like, okay, yeah, definitely. I'm all for father-son duo since that's what our YouTube show is built on, as a father-son duo. So I built Jack and Tim, and I've been in contact with them for a while, and they represent us versus them right now, and they're actually our us versus them tag team champions, to be honest. Oddly enough.
I know. I thought you'd have some contacts that are pretty powerful. That's a really cool one to have. I really like those guys. I'm a big fan.
Sometimes you have to, reach out and just, hey, what's up? How you doing? Sometimes, they'll talk to you. Sometimes, whatever. I think one of the things is, one of the things that disheartens me is a lot, especially on social media, and me being a parent especially, I am very much I'm a little bit overprotective sometimes with the online social media stuff because I'm a, for a long period of time, I wouldn't even, my son, a lot of people don't even know his actual name, and my daughter, all that stuff. But, I think that the problem is a lot of these young men and women who are trying to do their thing, unfortunately, online is a very dangerous place for some of them.
Absolutely. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Going to comment that I had talked to, I know Jaden's dad, and I didn't know I knew Jaden's dad for a long time, but he's a real successful, in my mind at least. He's an entrepreneur, and I'm actually in his men's group where we talk about stuff and just go over that kind of stuff. But telling Jaden the other day, I was like, dude, you are so lucky to have a dad like Kip who's got, who's doing so well, and he's so positive all the time. He does all this, good stuff for Jaden and Lincoln and everything. And I think that's, having a good father is a real good thing, and it's a real core thing that a lot of people should have, Unfortunately, some people, don't have their father around, and that's where we as men need to be better role models just in general, or just good role models, whatever we can do, and do what we can for these people, especially that don't have dads, because I think it's a real good thing to have a father in the household. So
it definitely does help, because I was growing up as one like that who didn't have a dad. I know what that's like. That's why I vowed never I would allow any of my kids to feel that way. But
yeah,
I 100% agree with you. I think you need a family aspect. You need a good, solid home base. I think that's always important when you have a element of having a supportful home base to support you in whatever the goals is. And it's funny you say this because if you go listen back to the beginning of this, this intro, I was just saying how important it is to have those support systems. I wish I had some of those people when I was competing in freestyle tournaments before they turned into MMA and blah, blah, blah. But in the same sense, that's why I started the F4L. So everything has a reason. And I created my own family. That's how the F4L came to be. But
it's so neat. It's such a legacy for your family,
awesome,
which is great. So
You have this I think you're right. I think everyone should have a role in stepping up sometimes when they need to. And I think it's important to realize that they have those, available to them,
Well, and that's a big thing, for me too, as a churchgoer and as, someone who helps with the youth group quite often and, who's a youth leader is another important thing, is that our youth have good role models to look up to, because right now There's a lot of evil, real evil in this world, where if we can help our youth and say, hey, like, I'll give you an example, like, I don't know, like in social media and in media right now, like Lil Nas X with those 666 shoes and the blood and all that, it's way overdone. And I think Lil Nas X has like stepped into a real dark, real nasty area, because I'm really religious, and I think that is kind of a slap in the face as an extent to religious people or any Christians or whatever, Protestants, whatever. But the point being is that those are not like the right people for younger people to look up to. We need strong role models like you and me and Kip. And when it comes to youth, we even need stronger role models, whether it be a man or a woman, because our youth are so impressionable. Right, you leave a real big impression
they
on
are.
Anything you do. So
they
my
are.
Big thing is they, a lot of the youth that I dealt with, they go to Cardinals games and stuff, right? And Blues mm-hmm. games in St. Louis. So I need to be, you know, dressed okay, and I try to check myself every once in a while, not speaking, cussing too much, or speaking about something that's, you know, not supposed to be spoken mm-hmm. about, because you never know if some of your youth could be sitting behind you to the side of you or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
right,
just
right.
to block it off, there's going to be youth there to begin with at a hockey game or a baseball game. So in general, you don't want to do that kind of stuff. Sometimes you don't do as well, but, you know, I take being a youth leader very seriously, and that's why with Kip's help, with Jaden's dad's help, who runs the men's group and stuff in the Brooks Empowerment Academy, is that, you know, I found out that, you know, I can do this, you know, and there's a lot of things that I can do. And I've got my card now, my business cards for being a youth empowerment coach and representative. And I don't know what that all means yet, but I'm learning and I'm figuring it out, and I really like it. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know what? You got every step towards your goal, man. And I think that's encouraging. I think that's awesome. I don't think there's anything that, you know, I think that you should be proud of yourself for that work. You're the one that put that work in to get that done. As much as you got help from someone getting you there, you're the one that actually made that happen, because you continued to do so. And you reached out to those resources. It's easy for someone to go to a group, but there's a difference between hearing and listening, if you know what I mean. You can
absolutely
go to a group and hear everything that's going on, but to listen is a different story. And
I think
it's
a powerful
story.
Tool, listening.
It is. It is. It is a very powerful tool, listening, learning,
because
being able to
accept. How good do you feel whenever somebody listens to you? You know what I'm saying? Like actually sits there, like my mom does, and actually listens to your bullshit, right, or your BS or some stuff that's not right, and they help you go through the motions and figure out what to do. Like, I know I'm going to lose my mom, I know I'm going to lose my dad someday, but I hate the day that comes, because I lose a lot of help that comes from them as far as just making decisions and stuff, but like making, like, you know, good decisions, right, even as a 30-year-old, right? So, I don't know.
Well, what I think it is, see, I never had a dad, and I lost my mother in 2010.
I'm sorry.
But, no, it's okay. It's part of life. It's a learning. It's one of those things we encounter, right?
Yeah.
But I think what's important is, even though they're not physically with you, right, the people who make an impact in your life, the lessons they teach you, just because they might not physically be with you doesn't mean they're not with you. Doesn't mean they're not living in your heart, in your soul. Every time you mention their name, every time you remember something they taught you, they're still alive. There's a quote from one of my favorite movies growing up. Heroes are remembered, but legends never die. Heroes are remembered.
That's a good one.
Yeah, you know those one. So that being said, that's kind of, you know, how I look at everything.
Like to think on the optimistic side more too, or like of that kind of side. But I also like thinking about, well, you know, it's true that what Wayne Gretzky said, you know, you'll miss 100% of the shots that you never take, right? So I've learned from the last year or two to kind of take my shots wisely, and you know, I need to at least try something before I knock it, right? So
you can't win the lottery if you don't play, right?
Very true.
One of those deals. Of course, I don't play the lottery. I don't like losing money if I don't have to. But anyway.
No, I'm not in a lottery either. No.
Yeah, but, you know, you're absolutely right, because you have to live every moment that you have to your fullest. That's the idea, and that's what you got to continue doing.
Tomorrow's not promised. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Tomorrow isn't. That's why you got to live it up. Any opportunities. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough that, you know, I have a habit of, you know, just trying things. This goes back to something my grandmother used to say, is try it before you say you don't like it. Well,
yeah.
So I have had that habit. I've gone swimming with sharks. I've gone bungee jumping. Bungee jumping the first time happened purely by accident. I did not mean to go bungee jumping that day. One of my F4L brothers and I were driving, and we saw a sign said, hey, you want to go, it said bungee jumping today. And my buddy looked at me as he was driving and said, hey, you want to go bungee jumping? I said, yo, you're going to bungee jump too? Yeah, okay, we'll bungee. So that's how that happened. We went bungee jumping because how many opportunities are you going to have to say you did it?
Yeah, absolutely.
He is also the reason why I got my deep sea license to dive in the ocean and stuff, which was you need to swim with sharks. And he's actually the one who I swim with sharks three times with. And again, talking about real sharks. I'm not stupid.
It still scares the crap out of me,
anything,
though.
I think it's like with life. It's the respect you give them, I think they give you in return. I think as long as you're smart and you show them respect, much like in life, I think that's how you're rewarded. I went swimming with sharks three times. I'm still here to talk to you about it. I have all my limbs. I think animals are far better than a lot of humans sometimes, to be honest.
Would you call yourself a good artist or like a good creator, good creative mind, would you say?
Good creative mind. You know, I don't know. I think it depends on what it is.
Call yourself an artist? I mean, with like the video games, since you create the characters and everything, you know what I'm saying? Like, do you think of yourself like that?
Well, I went to school for a lot of it. Well, I went to school for film and human services, and of course wrestling.
Oh, okay.
But
I've
been writing since I was a young age. I mean, I love writing. In that aspect, I would consider myself a creative individual. Yeah. But
very neat.
Yeah. So I guess in layman's terms, yeah, I would be a creator. But I think art is many things. I think art can be, you know, depicted in anywhere.
Subjective.
Exactly. It's subjective how you do things. Like, I think it's an art to be able to, you know, conduct yourself with young people and to be able to go out and hold yourself as a role model. And then to not only live that, but to be that, you know what I mean? To be you. I think there's an art to that. I think there's an art to getting cards made. I think there's an art to being able to reach out to other humans. That's not an art that not everyone has. Some people are afraid or intimidated to talk to others. It's an art on a podcast, to host a podcast, to reach out to a podcast. So I think in that realm, we're all in this world together. And I think that is the key point. I think that's what the important part is. I think that everyone's an artist in their own way. I can't draw to save my life, but I can definitely write a story about some character if you want me to, you know what I mean? And
yeah, it's really cool. That's cool.
As far as the wrestling stuff goes, yeah, I can create pretty much anybody. And I do it old school style. Since we started what we did, a lot of that whole realm has changed. I still do it the way I used to do it by scratch. I don't do this, you know, face scan nonsense. That's
right.
But I mean, in the wrestling games I'm talking, like, nowadays you can actually scan the person's face. I said, that's cheating, though. That's not how I started this. And YouTube credits us, my son and I being the ones who started that whole, you know, creating of the dream, you know, mastering the world and stuff. In fact, what's odd is we usually have to, you know, usually YouTube will send us, like, hey, these people want to try this. Check this out. And we have to, like, give them the yay and nay, make sure they're not kind of, you know, stepping on our toes, so to speak. I don't care if other people want to do what we do. They can do it all they want. And I don't think that it, you know, I don't tell people they can't do what we do. But there's definitely a quality, you know, in the, you know, the presentation, I guess. You know, there's a father-son team that does what we do. It's how we started. But they play the game, and I said, you know, that's them. We don't have anything to say to that, but that kind of takes away from the aspect of, well, who's going to win? When you have control over the game in some way, that kind of takes away the magic, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's very smart of you guys to be, you know, you and your son to, you know, not simulate the game necessarily, but, like, you know, have the storylines play out.
We don't pick winners and losers. We just build the characters.
No, and I like that. Yeah, I noticed that. I like that a lot, though.
So, actually, if I were you, I would go check out last night. I'd be curious to see what you think.
Oh, I will, 100%. It's you announcing. So, like, I guess my question, since I can ask real quick, is that, so Jaden and Connor do the tag team. So do they watch on YouTube, or how does that work?
Well, they
wrestle.
See what
I'm saying? Like, how do they know what they're doing,
you mean?
I guess that's why I said I don't know how all that works or anything. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
so,
the way it works usually, well, I can break that down for you. Basically, it works like this. This is how I do it now. Before, it was just be like someone would, either a person or a company would ask us, hey, build this person or build that person for us, and let us know how it works out. But what I do is, since this model is, what usually this model is a little bit more hands-on than I've done before. Because I actually reach out to these individuals directly before I even build them. First I have to reach out to them to build them to begin with. And then when they want to do that, I build them. And then what I'll do is I'll send them their matches right afterwards. After they say yes. Yeah, there's a lot to it. There's actually a lot. Actually, I posted last night kind of the process. Step one is I reach out to the individuals. Like, for example, Jaden. I talked to Jaden a little while ago. I've been talking to Jim here and there. He wasn't sure exactly what I was talking about at first, because it is kind of a hard thing to understand until you actually see it.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm coming from, too. I'm like, well, they can't listen to it until they get the match, is what I'm trying to say, right? Like, after
much.
You mail it, email it,
well,
or
sure,
whatever,
after,
or
after
send it to them on.
It, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Well, I still think it's cool. I just didn't know how it worked. Because wouldn't it be cool if there was some way for them to, like, listen to the match as it was happening, too? That'd be interesting to me.
Oh, yeah,
but
you can hear it.
I don't know.
You can watch it. They can watch it live once it goes up.
What did Jaden say about
it?
Was he happy with it and everything?
To be honest with you, I put it up last night. And actually, to be honest with you, if you look at the date, I was actually early putting out the 24th. Because the show I put out was actually supposed to be the 24th show. But because of the holidays coming in, also Jaden said his birthday's coming up. So,
yeah, the 22nd.
So that being said, I wanted to make sure I was out a little bit beforehand. And also because the holidays coming up, I wanted to get, you know, the 24th all set up, because I also know I have the other people at the build as well. But I have reached out to Jaden. I reached out to Connor as well. And they both understood and stuff like that for the most part. And I've built it, and I haven't reached out to them today to find out if they've seen it yet. But I am actually kind of curious, to be honest with you. After I get off with you, I'm actually going to reach out to them to see how they liked. I would imagine if they saw their match, they would probably be a little bit happy, I guess, considering they
were. Because
way the process works is I reach out to them, and then I build them, right? Before I even air them, I'll send them what the images look like. I always build everyone four outfits. Two to wrestle in, two to wear to the ring, right? So a total of four outfits.
Right.
And then after that's done, I give them their movesets and then their entrance. Now, first stage is me, after they, you know, agree to me building them, I'll send them what I came up with, how they look. But after that, if they give the thumbs up, then, you know, I tell them when they can look for the match. Sometimes they subscribe to the channel and they watch that way. Sometimes they watch afterwards. Sometimes I send them their matches, depending on who it is, you know, because everyone has busy aspects. Because a lot of the people, if you watch our show, we have a lot of different elements. And a lot of people are very engaging from this now, which is really helpful. It's really helpful to me as a creator or someone to do this, to get as much involvement as possible. I think it would be kind of cool someday, because I did find out through a test run with my son, using the technology or given, because I'm, believe it or not, I'm not a technical savvy individual, but I did find out that you can actually, when you're watching these matches, you can actually stream the person talking while the matches are going on and hear both people. Now, it might be something I might look into, having a guest commentator who might be someone who might be involved in the match, like having a Jaden call one of his matches with me, as he, or
that'd
have
really
him
cool.
and Connor call a match with me, or someone like that. We've not looked at that
mm-hmm.
yet. But I do know that my son and I sampled, that's kind of how we do the us versus them thing. He kind of has, you know, a headset. I have a headset, two separate units, right? So that being
mm-hmm.
said, I don't see why that would be any different. And I think
yeah.
if that's the case,
no,
I think
know.
We should be, I think that would work. So I'm going
to
see
I'm
about that
to,
later. But
I,
yeah.
You know, I've done two podcasts with Jaden, part one and part two, and to be honest, it was good information. I loved it, but I told Jaden, I was like, dude, we gotta collab, do some sort of short skit on Instagram and collab or something. Because I just didn't, I was like, you know, if we could do that, that'd be really cool, you know. So.
Yeah, it's
but,
good to, you know.
Yeah,
it's
I know
good
that Connor's
going to
be my
unity,
Connor.
Know?
Yeah, yeah. Connor will be my next guest. He's supposed to be, at least. So I got to reach out to him. And then after that, I'm going after probably an account you should follow. It's Johnny Ice. And then he's a kid who does a lot of cardio and stuff, and he plays hockey in New Jersey, actually. And
Johnny
the
Ice Man?
His name's Johnny Ice. I don't know what his last name's like Renzolo or something like that.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
He's on our
he's
roster
about,
too. He's also on our roster.
How did you get? I can't get that kid to talk to me. I've been like, hey,
oh,
Johnny, you know, let's come on this podcast here. I reached out and
well, cool.
emailed his dad.
Well,
he got back to me
different.
One time, and I couldn't get back to him.
Well, it's a little different. Yeah, it's basically I reached out, I told him what I wanted, what we were going to do, and basically I, you know, send it to him here and there, and he's actually very, he actually gets the joke as he goes along with it, because I'll usually say, oh, look at him, hard at work training for his match, and then, you know, he'll say, thanks, Sean, you know. He actually comes
yeah.
up my neck of the woods, Johnny the Iceman, so he's actually on our roster as well. In fact, he is the United States champion for us currently.
Oh, wow.
And remember, we have no control
oh, wow.
over the matches.
Well, you know,
so he,
you want to hear a funny
himself.
Story about this real quick? It's actually pretty funny.
Sure.
I talked to Jaden. I said, Jaden, I said, you know, I got you and Connor locked up for these podcasts. That's fine. I said, but, you know, I'm reaching out to, you know, other youth to put on the program. And I said, I named the guy, the kid. And I go, I said, you know, is there any way you could reach out to him? You're both kids, you know, and maybe since you both have big followings, you know, blah, blah, blah. Jay's like, yeah, I'll email him. Just I can't promise you that he'll reach back out to me. And I'm like, sure, that's fine. I never heard anything. And I'm like, must have not reached back out to Jaden. You know, so I'm like, dang, I want that kid on the show. But as you know, with podcasts, if it's a kid, I mean, you can ask the kid. Normally that's okay to do. But, like, like to go to their parents, you know, and be like, hey, you know, is this because, like, you get puts out an email, and it was Johnny's dad,
yeah.
and I said, yo, I was like, you know, is there any way that your kid would want to be on my show? And he asked for some examples of my work, and I said, I would tell you, but I only have one or two examples on Instagram. I said, everything's on Facebook, so I gave him, I said, go check out my Facebook. I've done tons of talks and, you know, podcasts, four or five podcasts on other people's podcasts, and it's like that's where all my work is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't do it, and so I felt kind of bad. I was like, man, I really need him. I need Ronan, the MMA kid. You know who I'm talking about?
A lot
his name's Ronan Swanson, maybe, or something. I don't know. He's a wrestler, MMA, some of that kind. So that's another good one to follow. But I haven't reached out
to him.
I
know him too. I know a lot of those. Yeah, I have not built him yet, though, for the record.
He would be a good
last
one.
Last night,
wrestling
I built
right now.
Four. What's that?
Mm-hmm. I said he'd be a good one because he actually, you know, he actually does whatever freestyle wrestling and MMA and cage fighting and all that, you know?
I actually, funny. They had a combat thing in Texas last weekend, and a lot of the people who are competing in that, it's actually kind of funny how everyone sort of knows everyone, but they don't know everyone in that community. So you'd be surprised how many people don't know each other. Like, for example, I always kind of think, like, from the wrestling world, right? A lot of people assume because I'm in wrestling, I know everybody in wrestling. Not necessarily. My time in wrestling is, you know, all over the place, but, you know, just because I've wrestled for a number of years all over the place doesn't mean I know everybody. Like, for example, the reason I got injured is because the Insane Clown Posse thought I worked with Mike Awesome in ECW, but they didn't look at Mike Awesome came in versus when I left ECW, because if they did, they would know that I didn't work with Mike Awesome, and I didn't know anything about Mike Awesome before I got injured. And that's why.
How was it working for Paul Heyman?
Paul Heyman was my first boss in wrestling outside of Kowalski, who trained me and mentored me. I have nothing but respect for Paul Heyman. He was the one who gave me my first job in wrestling. He's the one that kind of got me back on the creative team for WWE not long ago. And he helped me develop as Jazz Vengeance back then, the 6 foot, 215 pound man, myth and legend, Jazz Vengeance. Don't be afraid. Be terrified. Be kind of hometown, nice. You know, supporter of the group. And then after ECW was kind of getting ready to leave, they would relinquish a lot of us local talents because, as we know, ECW went under. But that was just before they brought in Mike Awesome and all that stuff, so I didn't work with them. But I worked for Ring of Honor, NECW, which is a local company up here. Ring of Honor used to be not too far away from here. A lot of them.
Oh, Ring of Honor is huge. They used to come around where I live on the Illinois side all the time. And my son, who's actually in you may know my friend. I don't know, but my friend's name is Daryl Valley, and he was a guy who was like, I wouldn't call him a valet, but he would drive around guys in all different states, and he didn't sports memorabilia like me and stuff, he's a manager, but like he just went into around here. What's that?
They call that
No. He just did it because he knew the a lot of the wrestlers, and we're talking about people like in the 90s, early 2000s. So he'd show around people like Triple H, Cody Rhodes, you know, all those types of people.
Triple H, by the way,
Randy
went to Kowalski school before I did.
Who did?
Why I went there.
Oh, Triple H. Triple H
went to the same school as me.
Yeah, and so, I mean, there's countless names he drove around, but, like, it was so cool because he made it work because he was a fan, but, like, he handled some of the stuff whenever people want autographs and stuff, but the point is that the guy just made it into the Wrestling Hall of Fame around me. It's like the regional, like, you know what I'm talking about, like, as a manager.
Right.
And I called him. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, dude, congratulations on that. That's a big honor, you know, to go into any Hall of Fame, you know, for wrestling.
That's huge. Hey, it's all to be recognized for being a peer, you know what I mean, to be acknowledged for your work. I know it's humbling to me, you know. I have a lot of good friends in the business, and I'm lucky enough that I have that. In all honesty, a lot of people ask, like, why wrestling versus other things. I said, well, have you ever performed before? And a lot of people who have never performed, you know, really can't really understand it too much. But oddly enough, I have found that people who are stage performers or actors or musicians, they, or even some sports people to a extent, they tend to understand a little bit more than like outside people, because it's the feeling you get in front of, you know, X amount of people, knowing that you have control over an audience, and you can either make them love you or hate you on the drop of a dime, and just performing, it's the adrenaline you get. You don't feel feel the injury until the next day.
You know much about Roddy Piper. Remember how hated he was back in the 80s and 90s? He had to wear, like, undercover vests and stuff so he wouldn't get stabbed and all that. Remember that heat he got?
Oh, man, do I. You know, I sure do.
It was unnecessary heat at that. Like, he was just playing the person he was supposed to play on TV.
Right.
He wasn't really like that. He was a nice guy, you know?
Oh, no, I get it. And that's actually when you know you're doing your job. That's how you know you're getting your job done, though. That's what they call getting over. If you can get that heat, that's what you want. Right now, there's only
But it was dangerous for him because people would try to attack him because they thought that's how he really was off. You know,
it was actually really bad. Actually, where you are, that area, there was some known to be some really ruthless wrestling fans. Texas fans have even more nightmare stuff. If you ever listen to Jim Cornette or Bruce Pritchard or any of those guys, they can tell you about that old school heat that the heels got.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have to get police escorts in and out of the buildings because guys would try to kill them, stab them. And it was a little old ladies with with knitting needles. Gorgeous George, back in the day, predates me. Gorgeous George used to go to the ring. You know, Gorgeous George, one of the most legendary, you know, heels of all time, was notorious for, you know, going to the ring, bleach blonde hair, you know, all this stuff. He was like what Ric Flair and a lot of those guys immolated. By the time he got to the ring, he was covered in blood because all the little old ladies and everyone killing him with razor blades on the way to the ring. That's how much heel.
I know, I laugh, but it's like it's not funny because it was real life situations where people were getting attacked, you know, and these wrestlers, and I'm like, damn, like, you know, like they said, like what's his name, like survived like 20 attacks, like Roddy Piper or more, and I'm like, that was real bad, and I'm like, that's why he had to start wearing under, you know, like a bulletproof vest or a knife proof vest, and I'm thinking, damn, you know. So
it happens. If you do your job well enough, you are. You know, it's funny.
But you know Roddy got good heat. He got good heat, you know.
He did. I have a lot of respect for Piper. In fact, when I worked for a little company out in my neck of the woods, I actually just got back from, I got medical clearance to finally return to wrestling in 2009, I want to say. It was 2008, I think. I finally got approved to go back into a ring and help this little independent promotion where I'm from to help them with their talent, their school to help them with developmental. As far as helping the students learn how to, you know, cut promos and talk and things like that, because that's what I was known for, is my promos. 2003, just before I got injured.
And you're a good talker. I know you're a good talker. You sound good. So you must have had good promos.
Well, funny story about that, you know, I was always a face, quote, when I started wrestling. When I was Jazz Vengeance, which sounds like, you know, a bad guy name, Jazz Vengeance, but the name, when we were talking about wrestling school and they were asking us what our names were going to be, and they described what I told them what my school name was. My nickname in high school was Jazz Vengeance, oddly enough.
Okay.
And it was raised as why. A lot of people are think that the jazz comes from the fact that I love jazz music, and that's not the case at all. Jazz comes from, and actually, I didn't give myself the name at all.
I don't know too many people that like jazz music actually like it, will admit to it. I'm just saying.
Sure.
Sorry.
Well, the funny part about the whole jazz thing is that jazz, both names were not given to me. They were given to me by the kids in school. Jazz came because in school, I had a tendency to adapt very well with pretty much any sport. But also, I was academically smart. I was actually applying myself and doing well in school. I was also naturally funny. I was cracking jokes, but also I was just as tough. I didn't put up with bullies. I was known as the official, unofficial bully buster of the school. I was one of the, even though I could, you know, make you laugh or I could sing a song and all these other things, I could also, you know, make people tap out in, you know, 15 seconds because I was also competing in combat sports and all these other things. I was full of all that jazz. I was writing. I was all these other things.
Yeah.
Because I had so many elements that made me, I was full of all that jazz, and that's where that came from. And then Vengeance came freshman year of high school. Freshman year of high school, I just joined the football team. I call it football still, even though a lot of people in America call it soccer. You're familiar with soccer?
Yeah.
I call it football because in European culture, in worldwide, it's football.
Yeah, so it's supposed to be football, but America makes up their own names for everything.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, no, I got you.
So when I was playing football and other things, I was already jazz, right? And
yeah.
When I there's some stuff going on at home and I had to leave school due to a family emergency. So while I was out, and I was already known to be like the bully buster and all these other things, and a lot of people think that that's a cool thing to kind of have the reputation of being one of the guys that kind of looks after everyone. Also, the guy who's the measuring stick. People think that that's a good thing. It's not always a good thing. It's not all it's cracked up to be. It's really not. Because what would happen is you get a reputation and people talk. And because I'm so protective of my friends and, you know, all these other things, VF4L, if you would, I told my friends when I was out from school for a while, and let me tell you, there was some good rumors, let me tell you. I heard all the rumors where I was. There was some creative things out there then. None of them were true. But anyway, I told my friends, listen,
that's
I'm going
awesome.
Back to school on Monday. You tell the kids
mm-hmm.
when I get back to school, vengeance is coming for every single one of them. And when Jazz gets there, vengeance is – there's nothing that's going to stop the vengeance is coming for all of them. And in that one day back to school, I had 16 fights in one day.
Whew.
And by the
yeah.
end – this is – I didn't say I won them all. But I got into
yeah,
16
still,
fights
that's a
in
lot.
One day back to school. By the end of that school day – The ongoing joke was is that Jazz Vengeance is coming, and that's where Jazz Vengeance came from. And from
wow.
freshman year of high school on, the kids in school, the teachers, my coaches, everything else would call me either Jazz, Jazz Vengeance, JV, numerous other things. I don't even think anyone knows my real name from school. And in wrestling, I don't
oh,
know
wow.
how many people actually use my actual name in wrestling or writing or performance-wise. They all know me as Jazz. So
that's interesting.
That being said, when I went into wrestling school, they asked me, you know, what's your name? And I told them that story. They said, that's who you are. And I was a good guy for a long period of time. Paul Heyman brought me in my first contract with ECW. And I remember working with Danny Doring, was my first rivalry in ECW. Wicked, awesome
okay.
guy. Have nothing to respect for him. Really good friend of mine. A lot of these guys are friends of mine. I can tell you stories all day about my first night in the locker room. But, you know, if any young people out there, we're going to save them from those stories. But here's what I can tell you. I decided then, even before that, I was never going to get involved with the whole drugs and the alcohol and all those things, because I've never seen drugs and alcohol end well for anyone in my own family
mm-hmm.
and friends of mine and so forth. So that being said, I never indulged in any kind of drugs or alcohol outside of coffee once in a while or tea or something of that nature, which is why me and my good Phil Brooks, who is up from your neck of the way, would later on
Phil
in
Brooks?
Ring of Honor develop the social.
Are you talking about CM
the original,
Punk?
We would go
you're
on.
You're talking about CM Punk, right?
Trainer.
Not that. Well, that's his real name, but you're
Phil
talking
Brooks.
About CM Punk then. CM
yeah,
Punk,
yeah.
right?
He,
that's what we're talking about.
He and I would develop the original Straight Edge Society, yes.
yeah.
That's one of the things we
big.
Do agree upon. We were both, you know, I decided when I was 18, 19, first signing in, I was never going to get involved with those things. And I'm very happy I did. But the funny part, now that's the serious part of it. The funny story is, all that time, from 19 till about 2003, I was the good guy, Jazz Vengeance, the voice of the people, the maestro. You know, I was, you know, the guy. I was the one who cut the promos and held people accountable and point my gavel, which is a kendo stick, at the crowd and had them sing various parts of my songs. That was me, right?
That's cool.
So years later,
yeah.
after I'm cleared injured, I went to college, earned 2 college degrees, and the doctor said, okay, you can go back to wrestling if you really want to. I said, well, I really want to. That's what we do. And I still could cut promos. I could still run the ring. But the thing is, the doctor said I wasn't allowed to work out in the gym, which I'll tell you, as someone who is huge into fitness as I was, someone who was, you know, always in the gym from 13 on,
mm-hmm.
that's when my doctors back then said I should start lifting weights when I was 13. I was always in the mm-hmm. gym. They called us gym rats. That's what they called us back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
No, that's how that aspect worked. Those are people who kind of lived in the gym. They were, you know, always in the gym lifting weights. That's where they were. And that was me. I loved fitness. I loved being healthy. I was playing sports. And if you look at the 3 sports I played in high school, football, which is soccer, wrestling, and then swimming, you kind of have to have, you know, pretty decent, you know, athletic, you know, left hand to do all those things, plus combat.
Oh, yeah.
But what was funny is in 2008 or 9, it was 2008, I found this company on accident when I was about to start. Kowalski, we just lost Kowalski not long before that. I was, you know, he just passed away just before around that. In all honesty, Kowalski school was no longer there. Now another school took over.
Let's say rest in peace to Kowalski and Harley Race now, you know.
Exactly. The legends in the business. I owe a lot to Killer Kowalski. He taught me a lot about both wrestling and life. He was a really, you know, important mentor to me in that aspect. And a lot of the things I learned from his school are life lessons that can be applied to other places. But the funny part is that in 2008, I joined this new company who didn't know me from a hole in the wall because it's been a little while since I've been out of the business. I've been around here and there, but, you know, it's been a bit. And I found this company by accident. They were doing a wrestling school out of where my uncle was playing hockey, believe it or not. In the corner, they had a wrestling school.
Oh, wow.
This is how funny this is. And I went up to talk to the promoter, told him who I was. They checked things out. Oh, yeah, we know who you are. We know you. Yeah, cool. Can you help them with promos? Sure. So they said, listen, how about this? And they knew my name was Jazz Vengeance, right? And one of the things that made me was my talking. What if we made you a heel, right? And now, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. As someone who wasn't being allowed to work out in the gym, I had put on a little bit of weight, but I still could run the ropes. And I still had, you know, the endurance that, you know, normally people don't. I didn't have a lot of ring rust because I still had that ability in there. You don't forget certain things. And I could still cut a promo. So they said, we're going to do this. We're going to make you Jazz Fitness, the unfit fitness guru. I said, you want to make me a heel where I've never been a heel, which is a bad guy, by the way. And you want me to go out there. Basically, I was a spoof character of Simon Dean. Do you remember Simon Dean? He was in WWE for a little while. I worked with him in ECW as Nova. But he went in, WWE had him. He was a fitness guru, He came down the ring with his little unicycle, and he would talk
about
fitness.
I'm sure if
fitness.
I saw it, I'd know, you know, type of thing. Yeah.
Well, Jazz Fitness.
Anyways, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yep, sir. Jazz Fitness had his own talk show called The Fitness Center with Jazz Fitness. That was the idea on these shows where we're trying to get these students ready for the ring. He would have to go out there. I would have various different guests come on the show. Usually the big draw would come out on my show, and I would piss them off, and they would, you know, beat me up or whatever the case may be, whatever. And a lot of that stuff I learned from guys like Piper and Brother Love and different announcements like that. We're all indulged into that character. So I learned my heel stuff. And I didn't think I could get over as a heel. And do you know that Jazz Fitness to this day is a lot more popular as the bad guy than Jazz Vengeance is?
I could believe that,
And then, of course, this is also the dawn of YouTube around the time of Jazz Fitness. And, of course, because the promotion put Jazz Fitness promos out on YouTube, then he became the YouTube sensation, Jazz Fitness. And that's when I'd make these, like, spoof videos. Like, I did a Rocky, a trainer video, which looked like the worst thing you've ever seen in your life. Funny, but that's the idea.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be. You know, I do like I do like a curl with a 1-pound dumbbell in one arm and a Snickers bar in the other hand. I hate Snickers bars.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
that's funny.
That was the idea. That was the gimmick. And I got that over somehow because I pissed everyone off, and I didn't think I would be people angry. Never thought I could get people upset, but I did a good job of it, I guess. So it goes to show you, if you put your work in hard enough, you can do it. But
yeah, that's really cool. That's really an amazing thing. Yeah, that's neat for sure.
But I think what you're doing is amazing too. I think it's awesome to be able to spend your time. I was a mentor for a little while there for Big Brother, Big Sister. I think that's an incredible role. That was before I, you know, had my own kids and stuff. But I think it's important to do that stuff.
You know, it's fun, but like, you know, calling up people like, you know, I've tried to just, you know, take, you know, have some time to give to, you know, other people than, you know, my church and the youth around. So I tried to called the Boys and Girls Club around my area. And believe it or not, you know, that those type of people always need help, and they did not need any. And I was like, okay, well, keep going with my church and doing what I'm doing. But I was like, damn, I couldn't believe that the Boys and Girls Club did not need any help. You know, like, okay. So.
Right. Well, you got to keep at it. You know, you'll find something. Even if you don't, I mean, you can go around, you know, like I do a lot of the motivational speaking stuff. That's that's some interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Too, but you can do that,
that's
too.
That's the hope for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the hope for me. I'd like to be speaking, but it's not easy to get into anymore. Like, sometimes you got to pay to speak on a stage anymore. So it's not, I wish it was just that easy. Just like, oh, yeah, I'll be a speaker or I'll be an MC, but it's not like that anymore. You know,
right.
Like, you're paying a fee most of the time, but at least that what I understand, to get on stage with people like Gary Vaynerchuk or, you know, the big names like that. And there's no way I could ever pay that kind of fee right now, you know.
Yeah,
but I enjoy it. I mean, I enjoy kids like Jaden, Connor, Ronan, Johnny, all those guys, because they're all, I mean, they all have one thing in common, which is an amazing, crazy work ethic, you know. At their young age of 13, 14 years old, they've already got crazy work ethic. More than I had as a 13 or 14-year-old, that's for dang sure. So,
I think that's why I respect them as much as I did, because I do respect a lot of that, because I know where that goes. And that's kind of why I, you know, I get involved where I can, because I do know where that leads, because I had that work ethic and I look at what I've already accomplished. And I still have a lot more I got to do. You know what I mean? We never stop working on ourselves. Even when you get to whatever that first goal is, you still want to do something else. I mean, you want something else. And I think a lot of people could take lessons from people like them and most and anyone else. I mean, I respect everyone of every age who are out there working for their goals, dreams, and everything else. I think it's important. I think it's, you know, it's a test of character. And it's an element, honestly, work ethic is something that will carry you throughout your lifetime. You know, the whole aspect, those who sit on the couch versus those who get off the couch and do something. Or someone who sees something wrong and chooses to walk the other way, and then the person who sees something wrong gets involved. And that's kind of where you look at different elements of life. I've always been that person who has interjected myself, which is why like 99% of the fights in high school or anything else had nothing to do with me, because I'm not going to allow someone to treat someone who is weaker and smaller poorly. I don't believe in that. I don't like bullying of any kind. And, you know, that is why
on that note, though, too, there's this kid from Australia that's on YouTube that's, I don't know, he's somewhat big, and he is a singer, and I like his songs kind of now, but, like, you know, he put a video, a music video together. It was really touching. It was called Dear Mom. And he's saying and stuff. And what happens is that through the music videos, there's this kid who's younger, and it just kind of shows through the music video and the story that the kid wants to die because he's getting bullied and stuff so badly at school and stuff. He makes this one friend who's a girl through the video, and they, you know, they do well and stuff. But, you know, at the end of it, the people who help with the video and stuff, you know, the actors and stuff, they really said, you know, they put it together and they said, it's really not hard to end bullying. We just need to do it. We need to be nicer people and be kind to people.
Absolutely.
It's not a tough thing to end. We just need to stop. And I don't remember what else they said, but it was a beautiful, beautiful video. It made me cry a few times because I was like, oh, Lord. You know, but it's like, yeah, it's really not hard for me to start thinking about what they're saying and doing.
Mm-hmm.
And how it affects people, you know?
Sure. I wrote lyrics to a song one time that was, you know, a friend of mine and another person from us, I think it was the United Kingdom, took the song and used it. I don't care, whatever. That you went to these contests to write things and they use them. I don't care, as long as they use them, you know? And it makes me cry, you know, bullying is a terrible thing. And you're right. It's something that doesn't have to be a thing. The F4L exists. to really combat that. And like I said before you came on, and every time I've talked about the F4L is, if people live the F4L way with love, care, and compassion, understanding, respect for each other's differences, there really wouldn't be any reason to have, you know, war and conflict and whatever else. Because when you show those morals of the F4L, then you respect others' differences and you're helping each other, and there's no reason to be fighting or be negative. But unfortunately, sure, only parts of the world know the F4L and what it does. And, you know, those who don't know, once they hear about the F4L, they're like, yeah, that's me. And then that's why today the F4L is celebrated all over the world. Australia is one of those places. A few of my friends from Australia are all F4L. In the UK, Russia, Mexico, Canada, you know, you name it, they all get the model. And honestly, if people did that every day, there wouldn't be any bullying because there's no use of it. Unfortunately,
yeah, it's true.
That's the F4L world, and unfortunately, the F4L is just part of the world that everyone else exists in. And, you know, that's kind of where we're at with that, you know?
I think his name was Kai Baldwin, I think is his name.
I know of him.
Kai Baldwin.
I think I know of him. Yeah, he's a talented young guy. He has a lot of talented people. Jordan Jensen is also from Australia. He started out on YouTube when I started out wrestling, kind of. And we used to exchange, you know, Christmas cards and stuff like that. You know, supporting the whole movement of, you know, just supporting each other and stuff. And it's too bad that everyone can do that, you know what I mean? And I think if more people did that and celebrated each other and worked together as a unit rather than against it, there would be a better world. Unfortunately,
absolutely,
on social media and stuff like that, you have to be careful these days. Like I said, in the last week and a half, I've gone to wars with people who I don't know from a hole in the wall. But because they are being offensive to friends of mine or people who I see online, the dad in me and the protector in me wants me to make sure that the people are being safe. And I, you know, that's one of the reasons I say a lot of the times the parents need to really monitor their kids' social media accounts, because I've gotten into fights with people.
Yeah, I think someone needs to monitor mine sometimes, you know. God, I'm not good at that all the time either, you know.
I am blunt, and that's one of the things about me is, you know, I'm all for listening to people, and I'm all for talking to people, but the one thing I will always tell someone, if you ask me a question, make sure you want to hear the answer, because I'm going to tell you, objectively, I'm going to tell you my opinion. And I have various different, you know, elements of ideas and stuff like that, but I'm going to be bluntly honest with you, or with people in general. People who claim they like honesty sometimes don't like the brutally honest opinions, but sometimes you need to call people out on that stuff, which is when I have no problem, you know, telling someone who is sending inappropriate pictures to a minor, you know, in
that's horrible.
Cause I've done that. I've called the people out for doing that stuff, and it's not right. It shouldn't happen. And I'm sure poor Jaden has to deal with it. And so does Connor.
That's one of those things that's terrible about social media, is that you got kids on Facebook and Instagram, and it's scary, you know?
It is. And on one hand, you want to, you know, support them and be there to watch them grow, like, you know, what we're doing, trying to encourage them to make their dreams happen, encourage them to do their goals. But then you have these other sick people out there who do have the exact opposite opinion, and that's what's ruining it. That's what makes it dangerous for these poor people. Because let me tell you, this day and age, you don't know what's going on. But one thing I can always say is I'm going to go to war with anyone that puts anyone at risk. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And I've done it.
Yep.
I've called people out on this stuff. So, but that's me. Anywho.
Well, I mean, I think that we need more people like you. So.
And you. We work together as a team. We're part of the same world, my friend. We're on the same unit.
True.
We might live in different areas of the United States or in the part of the world, but we have the same end goal to help and to, you know, not only ourselves, but help others. And that is something that doesn't have our bearings. No one's better than someone else in that aspect. We're all the same. By all means,
I agree.
You're welcome to reach out whenever you need something. But again, now that you've actually heard me and actually know this,
yep.
I have no problem talking to someone. Just make sure you want the answer because I'll give it to you.
Absolutely.
That's just how I am. One of the things that makes me who I am, one of the reasons why I'm dubbed the leader of the F4L, the founder of the F4L, is because I have to, be the one who listens to everything and then not tell everyone else everything that someone else tells me. The fact that I am brutally honest and the fact that I have an open ear, the fact that I look at three things in three different ways, because that's how you have to look at everything. And psychology class, there's always three sides of every story. One side, the other side, and then what really happened. I like to be the element of
being outside. One of my good friends always says, there's always three sides to a story, their side, your side, and the truth.
That's right. And I am the one who stands outside the box and looks at all three, and then I kind of put it together. And that's kind of one of the gifts that I've been able to have. We were going to say a half an hour we're going to do, and kind of figured this was going to happen. Everyone who comes on this show tends to come on, and we're going to go for around a half hour, 45 minutes, and for some reason, we just keep on going, which is awesome. But on the same sense, I don't want to tie you up, but I know that we have
30. No, you're never tying me.
You called in at 6:30.
Oh,
it's not a problem, my friend. And you're on the F4L headquarters.
I'll keep in contact with you too. Don't worry, I got you. I like you. I like how you help. I like how you help everybody else out, and really are there for people, which is great. And it's good for people
like
you.
Like I said, I'm always willing to listen to someone as long as they want anyone. I'm willing to help out. Like those guys there. I remember what that was like. I didn't have a lot of people. They're lucky they have people that support them like that. I didn't have that. There was no social media when I was starting out, but I commend them for the hard work. I commend you for your hard work. And I think everyone needs to work together and live the F4L way. And then everything's good, eventually.
Absolutely. Well,
I'm trying to get Jaden to come on here.
No, it was fun. I really like it. It was a good time. And I plan on, taking a sleeping pill and going and watching, the F4L, YouTube, from yesterday or, was it yesterday?
Yeah, it was up last night. There's always usually 8 matches on every show. For the record, this show would be the one that would come out on the 24th, and it's early, as I mentioned.
Okay.
But it is on there. And by all means, you can see your friend Connor and Jaden in action. Actually, Johnny's in action as well, so you'll see him as well. I know the whole card. I'm just not going to tell you any of the winners.
I do have a question for you.
I might have an answer.
What's that?
Go ahead.
Well, actually, let me PM you the question, because asking it on air might be really not weird, but hard for you to answer actually thoroughly and straightforward. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll PM you right after this and I'll ask you, but asking on air might not be the right thing, so.
Okay. That's fine.
But, I appreciate you letting me be on the show, and I've really enjoyed myself. It's been years since I've been on the other side of the podcast, so it's refreshing.
Isn't it?
It's refreshing.
Of course, it's always that, that first, knock at the door that people have the nerves about before the door opens, and then you don't know what's going to happen once the door opens. Am I going to be accepted in, or am I going to hit the door shut in my face? I always tend to run the F4L headquarters the way it's supposed to be, welcoming and live the F4L way while you're here, and always be you. That's all I always tell people, just be you, and you'll have fun with it. And anyone who's come on this show thus far has not had a complaint, and, we've had JoJo the bodybuilder on here, and, we've got some other people coming on. I've had, guys from YouTube on here, and I'm going to get Jaden on here eventually, We're trying to work some stuff
Absolutely.
Out.
He's a great person. He's a great person to interview because he's got all the, he's got a lot of answers when it comes to.
Might have to get his dad on the show now too. I didn't know, because you know I got to do these things here. I'm open to everyone. Everyone's welcome to come on the FOL headquarters, and Carter will have to get on there, especially when they're doing big things on our show and stuff. It's always different when you have. For me personally, it's always interesting to hear people's reactions when they actually see themselves on our show. It's always fun for me to hear what people's reactions are when they just find out that they've been on our show. Like, I have a friend of mine in Australia, Minty is his name. He has a popular YouTube channel that does like 10 things you didn't know about such and such a movie.
Minty's been
on our show for, huh? Yeah, he's on YouTube.
Yeah, I've heard of him. Why have I heard of him? Has he been around for a while?
Yeah, he's been around for a long while. He's from Australia. He's on YouTube. He's got a personality. He's a hysterical individual. We added him around the same time as we added Jackson R. Scott, who you probably know as better as Jackson Robert Scott, who from like the, It and Prodigy. He's an actor, young actor.
Yeah.
We had them both at the same time as the Lucky Ones, Jack and Tim. They all came in around the same time. Minty,
you had them on your show?
Just on the wrestling show, not my show, the wrestling show.
And still, you should try to get Jack
Minty,
and Tim on your show now, too. On the podcast. I would listen
for hours if I could.
Them
guys are tough to narrow down. Some of those guys are. I'm trying to get some
other. No, but I'm saying, like, I would love to hear, like, Jack and Tim or Jaden and Connor or Ronan and Johnny Ice or any of those guys all actually on the podcast. I think there's a lot of people that would love to hear that, too. You know, I would listen to all of those podcasts that I just mentioned to you if you had them on, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to get as many of those guys as I can, and I'm always welcoming to bring in more. You know, the good thing about having your own podcast is, you know, you kind of have the control and when they reach out to me, I can make it like, for example, you know, things come up in life. Like, you know, we've tried to do this before and things come up and I get that. It's life.
Yep.
But, you know, you always keep it up. I mean, this show is going to continue to make sure, you know, people are making their dreams come true and everyone's having fun and spreading their word. Eventually they're going to come on the
show.
Jackson Robert Scott, who, the young actor from, he's on Lock and Key now and a bunch of other things. This past, last weekend, we worked at Rhode Island Comic Con together, and he just found out he's a wrestling champion on our show. And it's always funny to listen to what people think of when they see themselves. I'm actually looking forward to see what Jaden and Connor think of their performance when they challenged the United States Tag Team Champions yesterday. Well, that's the South Park Rangers, Trey Parker and Matt Stone. That's the United States Tag Team Champions.
That's really cool. I really like what you do. And like I said, to me, it blows my mind because it's so creative. So,
go back and watch our show. You'll see some stuff. The other issue is we have several, like, because we've been doing it a long time, you'll see the older stuff there mixed in with the newer stuff.
I plan on going after I take a pill, going and watching it. I plan on it. So
it'll help you fall asleep, that's for
Excellent.
Sure. No, I'm just kidding.
I didn't mean it like that. I mean, I actually like it. I enjoy it. It didn't make me fall asleep. It's very action packed, and I enjoyed it. So that's why I wanted
we were going to be the alternative to the alternative back in the day. We were going to be the other option. If you didn't want to watch WWE or AEW, then you had to watch us on YouTube. But that didn't work out as well back then. Now it might work. You never know. Maybe.
True.
But yeah, big things are coming. So, John, it was great hearing from you. Hey, how does people get a hold of you if they want to get a hold of you?
Well, they can find me on Instagram at jrichter195, posting motivational quotes. Not as much anymore, but posting short videos on different topics that I talk about, like just different things like how not to get in trouble, you know, personality, stuff like that. You know, just stuff that I have interest in and talk about, and I've been posting those starting a few weeks back, both on Facebook and Instagram. On Facebook, they can find me at John Richter. It's just spelled J-O-H-N-R-I-C-H-T-E-R, and they can friend request me. And that's really it. Trying to build my Instagram as best I can. It's really not building like I want to. But, I'm just feel super blessed to have friends like you and Jaden, Connor, and those type of people, and Jaden's dad. And it's just, it's feel blessed. So.
Well, make sure you tell Jaden's dad I'm looking for him. Don't like that, though.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, I will.
Tell him
yeah.
that Jazz Vengeance
yeah.
is looking for him. Don't tell him that. This is a lighthearted.
No, if you want me to let him
know,
I'll tell him. Don't worry. I mean, if you want me to say,
oh,
him,
by
you
all
know,
means,
you want
tell
dark,
them
absolutely.
All that I'm coming and let them know that, you know. And I'm gonna, like I said, I don't even know if Jaden or Connor has seen their match yet, but I do think that I'm gonna make sure that they see it because I usually send it to them, send it to people after they have it. You could also, let them know how much fun it is to come to the F-World headquarters.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'll
and be
I'll
treated, and
then
talk
yeah.
as a human, you know, it's fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, so John, seeing how it's the weekend kickoff, before you go, what are you going to be doing this weekend?
Oh, wow. This weekend, I don't have much going on. I'm going to relax, and I'm going to package up some items that are sports memorabilia related. I'm going to go to church, and that's really it. So, not much.
Awesome
not
stuff.
Much. It's a laid-back weekend.
There you go. Well, you need those sometimes, right?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I think everybody
does.
Not
to mention,
yep.
you can go on YouTube and watch all those old matches on Dream Masters.
Well,
your favorite wrestling
I plan
show.
On it, yeah.
I'm just
absolutely.
Kidding.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me on the show. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Like you said, it's refreshing to be on the other side.
Always a pleasure. John, whenever you want to come back, let me know, and you know, I will always
absolutely.
Try to make time to squeeze you in. No worries there. We don't have to talk as long as you want. You know, it's a laid-back atmosphere here on the show. I have often found
absolutely.
That once people get on this show and find out what it's like and find out what it's like to be on the show with someone who doesn't act like a robot or doesn't, read off things. I don't believe, to be honest with you, a lot of people like take notes and things like that. And I've even found myself doing that once back when I first started. It's like, wait a minute, what am I doing? I used to run when I did my live promos, I never wrote any of those down. They all came from my head. I got the golden microphone being able to talk on my head. So why am I writing this
absolutely.
Down? So that's why
I kind of got that
notes.
Way too. You know, I usually read my, my podcast off a piece of paper sometimes, not off, but like take notes of questions I definitely want to know the answers to, but I've kind of gotten away from that, especially with the talks I've been doing and posting on Facebook and Instagram, anywhere from 4 to 7 minutes just talking on a subject because
sure.
I like it, I enjoy it, and people can
right.
get to, understand what kind of values I stand for. So.
Cool. Well, John, we're going to have you come back on again anyway because I want to talk to you about these miracles that you mentioned before. We're going to
absolutely.
See if we can chat about some of those stuff on our next show because we got about a minute and 45 seconds left. But I'll reach out to you. You can reach out to me, and we'll schedule another time for John to come back to the F4L headquarters, who's now coming. Now you're coming back to the F4L headquarters, right, sir?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, John, I look forward to hearing from you. May all your dreams come true. I hope all is well, and you have a great weekend.
You as well. Thank you for having me on.
No worries. Always a pleasure. Be safe, and may all your dreams come true. Peace.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
All right, folks. That was our friend John Richter who is a YouTube guy, an Instagram guy. So we'll have him come back on and many others. So. As I said earlier, may all your dreams come true, everyone. Enjoy your weekend. I am the host, the icon, Sean Chaz Stevens. May all your dreams come true. Peace from the F-World headquarters. Bye, everyone.